Okay, let's backtrack a little bit to Torah Rabbanon, about 7 lines down from the end of the Memalah from the base. Torah Rabbanon. Ochal tzli mivoyd yoyim. If a person eats a kezayis roasted from the Karban Pesach, but he ate it mivoyd yoyim while it's still day on Erev Pesach, chayiv, he's chayiv. Ukezayis no michashecha, or if he eats a kezayis of the Karban Pesach when it's undercooked at night, during the Zman of Achilas Pesach, so then again, Chayiv is Chayiv. So the second half we understand, that's what the Gemara we just got finished saying before, that there's a lav of Al Techu Mimenu Na, but that lav only pertains to the Zman Achilas Pesach, and not Erev Pesach when it's not the Zman to eat the Karban Pesach. But the first half, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now, how do you know that there's a Chayiv for eating the Karban Pesach early before the Zman? And the Gemara is Medayik, Katani Tzli Dum Yudin Na. The Braisa compares eating roasted too early while it's still day to the chiyuv of eating it na undercooked during the right time. Ma na belav, just like na we know is a lav. Av tzli, also eating tzli before when eating it roasted the correct way, but in the wrong time frame, that's also belav. So bishva mana, we understand what the lav of na is ksiv because it says in the pasuk al taychum mimenu na, do not eat it when it's na. Elat sli mi nolan. How do you know that there's a lav for eating sli mi ba'odyayim? Dechsiv, because it says in the pasuk, ve'ochlu es habazer ba'layla hazeh, they should eat the meat of the Karban Pesach on this night, on the night of Pesach. So that's, we could be midayik from there, ba'layla in b'yayim loy, dafka by night, not by day. Frekta gemara, hay lav abo mechlala sehu, if that's the case, that's an iser, that's inferred, that's deduced from an asay. And the rule is v'cholav abo mechlal asei asei. A lav that were medayik from an asei doesn't have the koyach of a lav to warrant malchus. It's treated as an asei. It's an iser that comes from an asei, but it's treated as an asei, and it would not be malchus. So Amar Rav Chista Hamani, who's the town of this brisa that says one would be chayv malchus for eating it tzli mi boyyim? Rav Yehuda is the sheet of Rav Yehuda that when you have a lav abo mechlal asei, but it's in a parsha that begins with Lamar, then it will be considered a lav. Ditanya, like we learned in a brisa, Sharse, Saru of Akalot, it says with regard to Karbonis, in the parsha of Mumin, the different blemishes that pass la Karbon, if you have an ox or a sheep that's Sarua, that the limbs don't match, one leg's long, one leg's short, for example, the kolot or its hooves are not split the way they're supposed to be, Nidavatasa Isoi, it may be donated to Bedek Abayis. However, it cannot be made into a carbon because it's a balmum. And when medayik, nidavatasa oisoi, oisoi, this animal, an animal that's a balmum, and it's not roi for the mizbeach, then, atamatvis lebedek bayis, then you have a right to donate it instead to bedek abayis. Viatamatvis tamimim lebedek abayis. However, animals that are tamim, that are without blemishes, then they may not be donated to Bedek Abayis, instead of, if a person is Makdashem, he has to be Makdashem specifically as Karbonis for the Mizbeach. Mikan Amru, from here Chazal say, Kol HaMatvis, Tumimim LeBedek Abayis, if someone is Makdish, an animal that's Tumim, an animal that's without a blemish, to Bedek Abayis, Eiver Basay, he violates this Asay of Nedova Tasa Oisoy, of this animal that's a Balmum, you may give to Bedek Abayis, which, again, we are Medaik, that comes to tell us that dafka this one that's a balmum and not another one that's not a balmum. Ainli alabasei, but this is a lava bom mechlal asei. And like we said before, a lava bom mechlal asei is treated as an asei. So I would only know that if a person violates this din and he's makdish a tamim to a bedek abayis, he's only over an asei. Beloy se seminayin, how do we know that he is over a lava as well and he would get malchus? Talmud Leimar, Vaidabra Hashem El Moshe Leimar. Because it says in the beginning of the parasha, Vaidabra Hashem El Moshe Leimar. Limit Akala Parasha Kula, which teaches us about everything that's mentioned in the parasha, including this Isser of being Makdish Tmimim for Bedek Abayis, that Sheyehebel Loisa say that there's a Loisa say that asers that forbids you for doing so. Divir Abuda. All the Rebbe the Bar Kapora. So Rebbe asked Bar Kapora, my main mashman, what do you see in Vaidabra Hashem Moshe Leima that there's a lav over here? Amaloi, he answered in the Chsiv because it says in the Pasuk, Leimar, which we could dash in an acronym, Loi Nemar Bidvarim. There was a lav said about these things that are mentioned in the parasha. So any lava ba mechal stay that's mentioned in the parasha, the Torah prefaces the parasha by saying that not only is it a lava ba mechal stay, but there is a lav pertaining to it as well. But Rav Amri and Rav Yeshiva, they said a little bit differently. Leimar is an acronym for lava mar. Hashem talking to Moshe told Moshe, go tell Klai Yisrael and Mar, tell them that lav, that there's a lav over here as well, not only the Isra Asay, the lava ba mechal asay that we see in the psukim. So the same thing by us, since in the beginning of the parsha, where it says, V'achlas abasar b'layla zeh, it says leimar, so the same thing would reply, that any lava ba mechal asay that comes from this parsha, like over here, V'achlas abasar b'layla zeh, b'layla in, b'layim loy, it would have a lav as well, and therefore someone who, according to this opinion, who would eat the carbon pesach tzli by day, before the night of Pesach, he would be chai of malchus for being over this lav. Then the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah says, "Meish tashmishtoi shel nachtoim," the water that the baker uses as he's baking, since it gets part of the dough in it, and it becomes chametz, so therefore it has to be spilled out. Toni chada, one brisa says, "Shayv chom b'mokim madrim." Where do you spill it out? You spill it out on an area that's a slant. This way, it will roll away and it won't sit here. Ve'ein shayvchem b'mokim hashberim, but you can't spill it out where it will be flat and there's a crevice in the ground, something like that, and it will stay still, gather up, because then you're going to have the chametz sitting by you. V'tani idach, however, we have another brisa, that the brisa says, shevim mokam hashbaran, you could spill it even on a flat area. So how do we reconcile the two brises? Says the Gemara, lekasha hodanefishi, if there's a lot of water, dekavu, so then if you pour it on a flat area, it's going to pool up there, so then it's a problem. Hodanefishi, the other bais is talking about when there's not a lot of water. It's not going to pool up because it's a small amount, so therefore it's going to all get absorbed into the ground. And therefore, even if it's a flat ground, even if it's a ground that has cracks and crevices in it, it's not a problem, and therefore you could pour it there. Amar Buda, Isha lo talush ela b'mayim shalonu. When a woman needs the dough to make matzah for Pesach, she should only use water that stayed overnight. Because in the springtime, the sun, based on its position at that time of the year, warms up all the rivers, the lakes, and the natural bodies of water. And if that's the case, the water is going to be warm water, which we learned earlier is a problem and makes the chimutz process go much faster. Therefore, you should let the water sit overnight. This way it will cool down. And only then should you use the water to make the dough for the matzos. Darsha Rav Masi b'papunya. Rav Masi said over this halacha in papunya. Now, what happened was, he said it in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew, he said, B'mayim Shalonu. Now, Shalonu in Lashon Kodesh, besides the Lashon of Lon, which means to stay overnight, could also mean Shalonu, ours. And therefore, people misunderstood him, and they understood that he meant to say, we have special water, and before you make the water for the matzahs, come and get our water that we have, because only that water is good and no other water is good. So the macher, the next day, everybody brought their jugs to him. They came to him and they said to him, Havlon Maya, give us the water. You said that we should come get water from you. So he told him, no, you're making a mistake. When I meant to say is water that was bisu, the water that stayed overnight, shalonu, that it was lon, not shalonu, that it belongs to us. Dorash Rava. Rava said, a woman, when she's kneading the dough, she shouldn't be in the sun, because like we learned before, the heat causes the chimus to happen much faster. Therefore, she should stay out of the sun when she's kneading. And the water that she's using, she shouldn't use water that was warmed by the sun. And Rashi points out, koshke, not water that was heated up by fire. And not from water that was taken away from a kettle, taken out of a kettle. Because those kettles that they had in those days were made out of brass, and the brass, the metal, was thick. And therefore, since it sat many times in the oven, the metal absorbed a lot of heat, and even if after it was removed from the oven for a while, there was still warmth inside that would warm up the water that's sitting in the kettle. Therefore, that water is warm water, and it should not be used. And she shouldn't remove her hands from the oven, means she shouldn't stop working the dough and take a break until she finishes off all the dough, meaning to say, like we had before, as long as the dough is being worked, it takes much longer to become chametz. Once it takes a break, then it will rise much faster. So she should make sure not to pause at all, not to stop working until she finishes the entire dough. Utzricha shnei kelim, and she needs to have two kelim, two vessels containing water. Acha shemekatefes boy, one that she uses water to smear the top of the matzahs that she's shaping in order to smooth them out. And the second one to cool off her hand. Because the first one, since she's constantly touching the dough, which as it is trying to start rising is going to become warm, and as it's being worked is going to become warm, so that water is going to constantly warm up her hand, and that dough is going to constantly warm up her hand, and that's going to make the chimus go even faster. So every once in a while, she should dip her hand into the other bowl, which cools off her hand, and this way, it will make things cooler and slow down the chimus process. Ibailu. We had a shayla of her velasha. Let's say she violated what we said. She didn't listen, and she did need it with warm water, like she wasn't supposed to. But she was careful to make sure that it doesn't become chametz. Now, what's halacha? Do we say at the end of the day it's not chametz, or do we say that since she was over, we'll give her a kenas, and we'll say that the dough is no good? Marzutra Amar Mutter. Marzutra says it's okay. Ravashi Amar also. Ravashi says no, it's also because we give a knas. And over here Rashi points out, even though we have before that dough that was made by a guy, which obviously they're not following the protocols that Chazal set forth, and nonetheless, if you have simanim in the dough that you could tell that it didn't yet begin to rise, it's okay. And we don't, but that's because over there there's no knas, because the goyim don't have halachas, and therefore they didn't transgress anything. So as long as you know that practically it's not chametz, it's okay. Masha Inkin over here, even if you know it's not chametz, from the fact that she didn't follow halacha, maybe we should give her a knas and say the dough is no good. Amar Marzutra. So Marzutra, who said that the dough is mutter, he says, what's my source to say the dough is mutter? The Tana, because we had earlier in our perek, a brisa. So the brisa says, "In loisus zinas sa'irim bePesach, when they grind the barley on Pesach, they can't prepare it by crushing it first in water to remove the chaff, because that may cause the kernels to become chametz. However, the law says if you did this lasisa process, so then nizbaku, if you see the kernels beginning to split, beginning to crack, so then you know that they're becoming chametz asurim. However, lo nizbaku, if they're not cracking, mutar, so then they remain mutar." So what do we see? That even though she was over the halacha of not doing the sisa, nonetheless, as long as you can ascertain that it didn't become chametz, it's okay, we don't give a knas. So the same thing would be true in making a dough with warm water. Rav Ashi Amar, and that Rav Ashi will answer, no raya from there. Atu kulu choda machta machtinu, were all the rabbanon sewn with the same needle? Meaning not just because Chazal in some cases decide to give a knas, it's not one size, or not to give a knas, it's not one size fits all. Where it was said, where it wasn't said, it wasn't said. Meaning in certain Takaras Rabbanim, they felt that they didn't have to have to give a class. And therefore, b'di'evit, if one was over and did lasisa, so it's still okay. But that doesn't necessarily mean that when it comes to a different Rabbanim, let's say kneading with warm water, that they said the same thing, that b'di'evit, it's okay. Maybe over there, they said that even b'di'evit, it's a problem. Hadin Allah kol shah. Says the Mishnah of Elu over Pesach, the following items have to be over on Pesach. So over here, there's a machlokes rishonim. What does over mean? Rashi seems to understand that over means that he violates bal yirah by matzah if he doesn't get rid of them, and therefore he has to destroy them before Pesach. Meaning, even though the things that we are about to mention in the Mishnah are not real chametz, are not what we call chametz gomer, rather, it's one of two other categories, chametz taruvis, meaning it's not chametz itself by itself, but rather it's only chametz mixed into other things, or a third category called chametz nuksha, which is chametz that is not edible, and those two categories are more kuladik, like we're going to see in the Gemara, and at the end of the Mishnah, that there's no karis for eating them on Pesach. Nonetheless, you still have to get rid of them because there's still bal yirah by matzah on these things. Other Rishonim, Tosis, and others disagree with Rashi and say there would be no bal yirah by matzah on this. And other Oivim just means to say you have to get rid of it off the table because you can't eat it on Pesach, because like we said before, even though there's no karis, nonetheless, there's still a lav, like the Gemara is going to explain, to eat them, and therefore you have to get rid of them off the table. But you don't have to destroy them and get them out of your house because there's no bal yirah, bal yimotzi on these things. But either way, these things you have to get rid of either totally or at least from your table by Pesach. Kutach HaBavli, this Babylonian dip, which we know from last parak it was dairy dip, and it had crumbs in it, therefore it's a mixture of chametz, it's taruvis chametz. V'sheicher HaMadi, or the beer from Madai. So again, the beer was made with barley, and therefore it's a mixture of chametz. Chametz HaAdoimi, or the vinegar from Edom, which the Gemara will explain again, had chametz mixed in. V'zeisai Mamitzri is some type of medicinal concoction that they made in Mitzrayim, that the Gemara will explain. It as well had chametz mixed in there, and therefore it's called chametz taruvis, and all these things, because of that, are oivim v'vesach. Furthermore, zaymin shel tzaboim, this certain thing that the dyers used to dye, like the Gemara will explain, so even though it's not edible, it's chametz nuksha, it's still chametz that has to be oivir. And the same, similarly, amilon shel tabochim, which the Gemara will explain, is some type of dough that the chefs used to absorb the moisture and the impurities of the steam and the impurities of the pot. The kodon shel soifrim, the Gemara will translate what that is as well. So all these three things, even though they're not edible, but they're still chametz nuksha, and therefore you have to get rid of them. Rabbi Yezer adds, aftach shite nashim, also tachshite nashim, what the women used to adorn themselves. Again, the Gemara is going to explain what this is. It's obviously not jewelry or makeup, which is not chametz, but rather a paste that they used to remove their hair, which had chametz in it, and therefore it has the same halacha as well. Zeaklal, this is the rule. Kol shu mimin dagan, anything that was made from grain, hareza oiv v'pesach, you have to get rid of it on Pesach. Hare ilu azara. However, these two categories, like we explained, chametz taruvos and chametz nuksha, if one were to eat them on Pesach, he's only over a lav ve'imbam misrim karas. But since they're not pure chametz, they're not chametz gomer. Therefore, if one eats it on Pesach, he's not chayv karas as one who would eat chametz gomer would be chayv. Tarabon. The Brisa says shleisha devar nemru bekutach habavli. Three things were said pertaining kutach habavli. Number one, metamte mesalei, it clogs up, it stuffs up the heart. Number two, it blinds a person's eyes. Number three, it weakens a person's body. And the Gemara explains, it stuffs up a person's heart, because one of the ingredients is this whey, this sour milk, and that is not healthy. It causes the heart to get clogged up. It blinds the eyes, because of the salt that was in there, and we know that every salt could be mixed in with melach sadaim, a salt that came from sadaim, which is very powerful and dangerous. If one touches the salt and then touches his eyes, it could cause the eyes, rachmanu litzlan, to go blind. So since this salt may be mixed in, therefore if someone touches the dip and then ends up touching his eyes, it will cause his eyes to go blind. And number three, machesh ha'zaguf mishum kumnisa de'uma, because it has those crumbs of bread from the constant dipping, and the bread sits there and molds. Therefore, that moldy bread is not healthy, and it causes the guf to become weaker. There's three things that cause a person to have a lot of waste products. The koyvin es hakoima, and it bends over his posture, meaning to say it weakens him to the point that he can't stand up straight and tall. The neitzanechas mechamish meyer is mimar einav shalodim, and it takes away 1/500th of a person's eyesight. Elohim, the following are they: pas kibur, coarse bread, bread made with coarse flour, v'sheichar chodesh, and new fresh beer that wasn't aged, v'yerechai, and raw vegetables. And Rashi explains these are vegetables that have some potency to them, like leeks or onions, lettuce, things that should be cooked. If they were eaten raw, so then they cause these problems. Tarabanon, shloshet devarim matim as a zevul. There's three things that are the opposite. They clean out a body that makes him produce much less solid waste. The zeikvin as hakayma, and it makes a person be able to stand tall and straight with a good posture because his body is healthy. Umeir nesenayim, and it gives a person good eyesight. Eduhein, the following are they: pasnakia, bread made from clean flour; basar shomein, fatty meat; v'yayin yashin, and aged wine. And the more explains pasnakia, the smida that's made from soilus, fine flour; basar shomein, the fatty meat that sirta deloy iftach, that comes from a goat that never gave birth as of yet; and yain yoshan atik atiki, it's old, meaning to say it's from 2 years ago, so it's already in its third year. Kol mili demali lahai kosher lahai. Normally, when it comes to medicines, there's always side effects, and anything that a person takes because it's good for a certain part of the body, it's usually bad for a different part. With a kosher lahai, and something that's bad for this part, mal lahai is good for some other part. Bar mizan gavila, with the exception of ginger retiva that's fresh, upupali arichta, and these long peppers, upas nakia, and clean bread, bread made from fine flour, ubasu shamin and fatty meat, viyayin yashin, and old wine, demali kubi gufe, that these things are healthy for the entire body. Going back to the Mishnah mentions Sheikha Amadi, beer that comes from Madai. Rashi explains specifically the Madai beer, because most beer in those days was day beer, which obviously has no chametz ingredients in it, whereas in Madai they made beer like we make beer nowadays with barley, and therefore, like the Gemara explains, the Ramu Beisari, since there's barley inside the beer, therefore it's a taruvas chametz, and that's why it has to be gotten rid of. Chaimetz Adoimi, the vinegar from Edoim. Again, the Beisari, there is barley put in there as a catalyst to cause the wine to become sour and turn into vinegar. Because otherwise, naturally, the wine would never turn into vinegar. And the Gemara explains, Amar Reb Nachman, b'tchila initially, k'shayu mevi'in nesachim e'yuda. When the Beis HaMikdash were standing and they were bringing nesachim, the wine pourings on the Mizbeach, the wine libations from Yehuda, so in that schos, they had very good quality wine and it wouldn't turn into vinegar. Unless they would put barley in there to cause it to become vinegar. And that vinegar that was made through the barley was called regular vinegar, because that was the only vinegar that they had. The Ashav, nowadays, so now Yehuda lost that mila, and instead it was given to Edom. And now the wine that came from Edom doesn't become vinegar until barley is placed in there. The and now it was referred to as chaymitzo adami. Regular vinegar that comes from Eretz Yisrael doesn't have barley in it, and only the one that came from Edom, that's the one that has barley in it. The and this fulfills that which it says in the pasuk. This is a pasuk referring to the city of Tzur, which is a city in Edom. And the city of Tzur said, "Imala Acharava, I became filled from its destruction, from the destruction of Yerushalayim." Meaning, the two cities will never be equal. When one, they will never have that they're both thriving, and will never have on the opposite end that they're both destroyed. One will always be thriving, and one will always be destroyed. So Tzur got filled. Tzur was thriving from the fact that Yerushalayim was destroyed. Imalazu Charvazu, if this one is filled, that one is destroyed. And the opposite, Imalazu, if that one is filled, Charvazu, then this one is destroyed. Renagva Yitzhak Amar Mehacha, a different pasuk where we see the same concept. When Rivka was carrying the twins and she went to ask what's going on, she was told she has two nations inside. And one nation will always overpower the other nation. Again, there will never be two equals. There will always be that one is strong and one is weak. Tanya, Amar Yehuda, in the region of Yehuda, Barishayna initially, when at that point in time the regular wine was very good quality and therefore could not be made into vinegar. So Halakeh Chaimitz Me'amaretz, if one purchases vinegar from an Amaretz, Ein Yitzarech La'aser, he doesn't have to take off Maisers, even though you know normally produce that's purchased from an Amoritz, we suspect that he didn't take off Maisers, and therefore it's called a Mai, and it may not be eaten until Maisers are taken off. This vinegar, he does not have to separate Maiser from it, Neish Chazaka in Abba, Elam in Atem, because you could assume that it's not coming from wine, rather it's coming from Temid, which we'll explain soon is a type of inferior wine, and therefore it's not subject to the rules of the Mai. The Akshav, however, nowadays, that the regular good wine turns into vinegar. So therefore, if you purchase wine from an Amoritz, then you do have to take off Maiser, because you could assume that it comes from good wine, which is subject to the regular rules of Trumas and Maisers. Does Reb Yehuda hold that Temed, this inferior wine, does not require Maiser to be taken off of it, and therefore that's why when you purchase this vinegar that comes from Temed, you don't have to worry about the Mai? Vatnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, Hametamid, someone who makes this Temed, this inferior wine, Vinasa Maim Bemida, even though we put in a certain measure of water, Umatak De Midase, and then the liquid that came out was the exact same measurement, so obviously nothing more was added than the amount of water that he put in originally. He just got the taste of the wine. Nonetheless, therefore, says the Tanakhama Potter, he's Potter from Trumas and Meiser. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, but Rabbi Yehuda says no, he's Chayev in Trumas and Meiser. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda considers Temed to be juice of the fruit of the grape, and if that's the case, it's Chayev and Meiser. So why, when you buy it from the Amora, it's are you Potter? Says the Gemara two Terutzim. Number one, Hachi Kamar. This is what the Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Lo Nashedu Ameyaretz Ala Temed. They weren't suspected on Temed. Meaning, normally, why don't they take off Meiser? Because they're too stingy. But Temed, since it's so inferior, it's so cheap, therefore, they had no problem taking off Meiser. Yes, it's Chayv Meiser, but they had no problem taking off Meiser, and therefore, there's no reason to suspect that Meiser wasn't taken off. Or you could answer, Nechshadu, that really we suspect them of not taking off Meiser, even from Temed. For like Kasha, and still it's not a Kasha, it depends on where the Temed was made from. Habad Ravka. How about the Portzani? If the Temed was made from Ravka, was made from the sediment, so then there's real wine that's absorbed into the sediment, and when you soak that sediment in water, Rabbi Yehuda understands that some of the water gets absorbed into the sediment, and it's replaced by some of the wine that's absorbed into the sediment that now was spit out. So therefore you have real wine in there, and it's subject to Trumas and Meisers. How about the Portzani? But if it comes from just soaking the peels and the pits of the wine in water, so then it's just getting the taste. There's no real wine that's going into the water, just getting the taste, and therefore it's potter from Chuma and Meiser, because it's not called part of the pre, it just has the taste of the fruit. Then the Mishnah said, Zeisam HaMitzri, my Zeisam HaMitzri, what is this Zeisam HaMitzri? Tana Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef learned from Rabbi Yosef, plus a sari, it's a concoction that had three parts barley, plus a kurtami, three parts saffron, utvasa milcha, and three parts salt. Repapa mapik sari umayochiti. Repapa had a different version that he took out barley and instead replaced it with wheat, meaning the first ingredient, instead of three parts barley, was three parts wheat. Vesimonach, and Yusimon, to remember who said which, is sisni. There was this keli that was known as a sisni, some type of receptacle, and it has two samachs next to each other, so too Rabbi Yosef, who his name sounds like a samach, he said sa'irim, which also has that same sound, samach. Even though it's spelled with a sin, but it's the same sound. Therefore, that would be your sim to remember. Either way, what do you do with this concoction? Taralu, you soak it in water, v'kalulu, and then you roast it. V'taknulu, and you grind it up. V'shasu, lehu, and you drink that mixture. Midivcha v'aratzarta, between Pesach and Shavuos. The kumet, and what does it help? Somebody who's kumet, someone who's constipated, marpele, it loosens him up to be able to relieve himself, to be able to go to the bathroom. Uderofi, and the opposite, someone who's too loose, he has diarrhea, makmele, it tightens him up in order to stop his diarrhea. Lechoyle, but for someone who's sick, uleisha ubra, or for a pregnant woman, sakanta, drinking such a medicine is a sakana, Rashi explains, because it will cause the shows of the diarrhea to be too much to the point that it will come to a sakana. The next thing the Mishnah mentioned is Zayman Shalt Saboim. So Hakat Gimu over here in Babel, they explained, Maya Dechire, it's water that they soak bran in it, it's Avibu Liba, that they use to dye the chest area of the hide of the animal. Others are goers Lacha, which is a certain type of leather, but it's the same idea, it's some type of concoction that was used to dye leather. Amilim Shalt Tabachim. So the Gemara explains, what is that? Pas tevua shaloi avia shlish. It's a bread that was made from grains that didn't even become yet a third ripe. Shemenicha api kedera, that they put it on top of a pot. V'shayevas azuama, that this way it will absorb, it will draw in the zuama, the sweat and the impurities, in order that it shouldn't get mixed back into the food. The kohen shel seifrim. What is this kohen shel seifrim? So hacha in Babel Turkum, they explained purur de ushkevi, the glue that shoemakers use. Reb Simi mechuzna amar zeh tipulim shel benayis hashirim. This is the paste that the rich girls use to remove their hair. Shem mishayis leisel benayis aniim, that they left it over to the daughters of the aniim. Meaning, aniim couldn't afford to remove their hair with flowers, and we're going to see soon that they removed it instead with seed, with lime. However, sometimes the ashiros, who did use flour, they had leftovers, and they would give the leftovers to the benayis aniim. So when the Ashirim used it, the Mefarshim explained it didn't yet become Chometz, so it's okay. But now that it's left over and it's sitting by the Bnei Saniyim, it becomes Chometz. So once it was given to the Bnei Saniyim, it would have to be gotten rid of. Eini, is this so? Vatane of the Beirim Chia. From the seven things that the Mishnah mentioned, four of them are mini medina, are things that you find by the common folk, the regular citizens of the land, and the last three are mini umnis, are things that only professionals have, dyers, chefs, seifrim. However, if you say that this kind of seifrim is the tipul of Bnei Sashirim, is this paste that the Bnei Sashirim used, that left over to the Bnei Saniyim, so that's a common ingredient that every girl would have. My mini umnes, Iku. Why is it considered a mini umnes? Elamai, so what are you going to say then, rather? Pure doshkivi, that is this glue that they use for the shoes. And that's why we understand the shoemaker is a professional, a craftsman. But if that's the case, then my kolin shel seifrim. Why is it called the glue of seifrim? Kolin shel ratzanim miboyle. It should be the glue of shoemakers. Meaning, seifrim has two translations. It could either mean scribes, which doesn't make any sense over here, or seifrim sometimes refers to talmid chachamim. So, according to the pshat, that it's the benois aniim, so it means the daughters of the talmid chachamim, the ones who were abeim, the ones who were teachers, who they were commonly poor, so that's why their kailun, their paste that they got, was chametz, like we explained before. But if it's the shoemaker's glue, so why? What does that have to do with seifrim? It should be called ratzonim, from the shoemakers. Really, we're talking about this glue that the shoemakers use. So why then is it called kailun shel seifrim? Because the same glue that the shoemakers use to glue their shoes, the scribes used when they wanted to glue papers one to the other, and therefore it's called the glue of seifrim, of scribes. And over here the seifrim is used as an umon, as a type of umnus. So now we fulfilled both conditions. It's something that was only found by umnin, by these special craftsmen, people that are in the trade. And we understand why it's a glue that seifrim used, because the scribes as well would attach the papers together with it. Okay.